Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, welcome to Slam Fire Radio episode 581. We are recording live on November 13th, 2024, because I read everything that's on here. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly.
I'm Cowtown Tony.
And I'm one of your hosts, Adriel.
Correct. And that's everybody for tonight, at least. Anyways, maybe some people will drop on or drop on.
It's November.
Hop on.
There's hunting to do.
And stuff.
In the middle of the night.
Cursors. Skinning. The stuff that you do during the day. Give you all the work that you need to do in the evening.
Correct? Eating the deer. Yep.
Correct.
Eating the deer. Turning the deer into meat.
Yes, you do. You have to process your meat as well, and it takes a while. I know that because I did it last week. So why don't we get into what we did last week? Adriel, why don't you tell us all about all your hunting success last week?
I only want to talk about a little of it because Tony, I think, is going to talk. Tony came out with us hunting.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I was very unsuccessful. Let's put it that way.
No. That's okay.
Did you see any deer?
I don't.
You saw some deer.
Except on driving.
Yeah. On the drive-in, you saw some deer. We know there's deer there. But it's that's a matter of time in, right? Time in plus good spot equals eventually you'll see a deer, and eventually you'll see a deer and be able to get a shot off at it. And that's really just a matter of time, putting the time in. So like I mentioned before there, we went hunting with a group of guys out, kind of west of here, southwest of here. And, it was much muddier than the week before when I was scouting there, and I was looking at, oh, what about this spot or what about that spot? And it was starting to get a little sloppy, but holy, this last weekend was muddy, very, very muddy. Everything, like the campsite that we were camping at, was so nice and dry for most of the year. I camped there 3 times already this year. Every other time was like nice, dry, and solid, and this time it was a soupy mess. But, we got some moisture and all that kind of stuff. So we went hunting. The hunting group got 2 deer. I got one of them. Awesome. It was I wouldn't say it's my biggest deer. In fact, I would probably say it's my smallest deer I've ever shot. But unlike some hunters, they go out hunting like, nope, they just want the big one with the antlers. And if they see something a little bit too small, they're like, let it grow for next year. Me, it's brown, it's going down. The first deer that I lay my eyes on is gonna die. And the mom ran off and the baby's like, well, what's going on here? It's like, you're turning into dinner. That's what's going on here. So I turned it into dinner. And then I was bugging my other buddy and like, oh man, you got to hunt harder. He's like, fine. And then he goes out and shoots a nice buck that morning within 20 minutes, just drives out with his quad and goes and shoots nice, decent buck, which is kind of
so
nice.
Can you tell us what the distance was that he took that deer at and you took yours at?
Mine was 20.
Dear. That was close.
It was not a smart deer. It didn't have a lot of life experience, we'll say.
Aw, muffin. Okay.
Yeah.
What about about the big buck?
He said he was about 100. About 100. Okay. About his at.
Yeah.
So not too long a distance. Most of the areas that we're hunting in, it's like going to be 100, 150 max kind of a thing in most of the areas where we're at. What else to think to say? Oh, we got some grouse as well. We got a whole pile of grouse. I think, I don't know, 4 or 5, something like that. Had some of that, that one that I got it first, and we had the tenderloins and the heart and some of the backstrap, and you wouldn't believe it. That backstrap was more tender than the tenderloin, and the heart practically melted in your mouth. It was so tender. I've never had deer heart that good. It was so good. Just, wow. You know, pepper and salt and cooked over butter, yep, and that kind of thing. But yeah, it was really good.
It was,
Buddy, mm-hmm, when he cut it up, he like pulled out, you know, the internal, like you got to like fillet it open and get some of that hard stuff out of the inside. He did that and it was so good.
Okay.
Yeah. Tony did up some of the back straps too.
What did you think, Tony?
I don't think I did a good job. We'll get to him.
We'll talk about his part. I don't want to ruin too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too much of it because it was more new for him than it was for me. For me, it was more like, I'm just camping and hunting and that kind of thing, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Weather worked out really nicely for us. It was right around zero the whole time. So perfect temperature to go hunting deer.
Yeah.
Not too cold, a little bit too warm with the heat on in my tent trailer, but so be it. Oh, Ian Rocco came hunting with us. We were hunting with Ian Rocco the whole time. Yep.
How was Ian, by the way?
Really good. So he's been hunting for a while, and he's gotten deer before. He's gotten some grouse before. Not a lot, though, but he's like been putting the time in. So I took him out for a couple of hikes to go looking for some deer, and he set up for a couple times. He didn't get lucky. He put the time in, but just didn't luck out and happened to see a deer. But definitely put the time in. Definitely hunted pretty hard. And yeah, pretty easy to hunt with. Lots of stories to regale us with as he's, you know.
Campfire story. 10 out of 10.
His campfire stories.
Were also, you can give, you can ask for a random law knowledge and whatever.
Yeah. He was good for all that stuff. Just before, so Tony came up from Calgary to come up to meet us there. And another one of my buddies is like, Cabela's got 10% off their gift cards. But they always do these on these weekends where I can't go to Cabela's because I'm doing something else. So he mentioned like, I'm at Bass Pro right now. I'm like, can you pick me up some Cabela's gift cards? So he grabbed me $1,000 worth of Cabela's gift cards.
Okay, I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you think they do it on those weekends where they're not driving a lot of business specifically because it's hunting season?
No, long weekends. I'd imagine long weekends they're doing a lot of business.
Even though it's hunting?
I think so. Because the last time they did one of these was the... Was it the July long weekend? I think it was the July long weekend, or it was in June rather, but 29th, 30th, and 1st, I guess, right, for July.
But I think a lot of people are going to pick up their tags regardless, so,
Yeah. Anyways.
Tags, they have to go in and pick up their tags?
Alberta, yes.
You can get them mailed. You can get them mailed, but.
Five to I seven like to just pick them.
Okay, you guys need to come into the, you know, the 20th century, because... We just print them off.
That would be nice.
But then they won't be sticky.
We have paper. It's called paper. You punch a hole in it and then you stick it on your deer.
Is it like a nail like you do at a diner when you're putting the receipts for what orders are coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard lots of people, mostly US people, they said the tag is notched, but we don't. We don't notch anything. It's like a ski pass for a deer.
Yeah.
You hook them onto them. Close it up.
We don't do that. It's like just your way a piece better. Of paper. You can only print it once and mm-hmm. you have to fold it and you're supposed to stick it on your deer when you're hanging it, but we process our deer right away. So
how do you stick it on there?
You put it on, you just attach it with a zip tie or whatever.
Or some packing tape,
like a shipping label where you just stick it onto the package kind of deal.
Yeah, right onto the meat,
right on the face.
No,
zombie deer now.
When you hang the deer, and normally we hang the deer with the snout down, right? Mm-hmm. So through the
ankles,
we just zip tie it through that.
Yeah,
where it's being hanged.
But your tag doesn't need to be applied. In the field?
You're supposed to have it with you.
I think it's supposed to be... Well, it's supposed to be here. It's supposed to be applied.
Well, yeah, Alberta...
As soon as you shoot it and get to it, you're supposed to take it.
Immediately. That's the first thing you do.
Right. Yeah.
You have to attach it.
You're supposed to have it and have it with you when you actually go...
No, it says immediately after killing, you have to attach it. That's the word.
Okay. I've sometimes if I have to drag it through some really rough shit, I'll tag it after that because like it's gonna get ripped off on the way, right? But otherwise, normally pretty immediately. And then, yeah, as soon as you're done processing, whatever that means, final processing, then you can pull it off.
Pull it off.
And so, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. again, ours is just a piece of paper, right? We carry it with us, and as well as our hunting license, and make sure that we have it with us. And then, because literally we process it about 50 meters from where I shot the deer. I'll talk about that and what we did for guns. Anyways.
Yeah. Also, you guys can hunt with 223. I'm jealous about that.
Huh?
Maybe we'll get that in maybe we'll get that in Alberta soon.
Yeah, we could not.
Oh,
maybe,
okay. Anyway.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will, Tony.
Oh. It'd be too late.
I think Kelly's tag that she gets and she puts on the deer looks something like this, right? It's just like a piece of paper that you wrote, I do what I want on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm stealing that from Parks and Rec.
I might have it in my pocket here. No.
So I got that gift card burning a hole in my pocket. I've been looking at a couple things. Cabela's had the Stevens 334s on sale. They're all gone from my local stores, though.
You reviewed one already.
But they're so cheap, Tony. But they're so cheap. Anyways, yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's like two axes. You're trying to get rid of one of the axes
of evil. Yeah, I want to get rid of one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, and then next weekend, like the one coming up here, I'm going to go hunting with my youngest. So he's got a tag. I've still got a tag, a draw for Muley Doe. So we'll be heading out and,
Was it a lottery, or how many years did you wait for that?
Lottery. Yeah. It's a draw system. So you get points by not being successful, and then eventually you get a draw and you can use it. So I got my draw. So we'll see if I see one. Actually, if my kid shoots another, like a big deer, I might not even want to shoot another one because
what?
Well, that might be enough. No, like how do I use all the meat?
Yeah.
Send it to Tony. It's easy.
Send it to Tony. Yeah. Shipping is going to cost quite a bit. But
select in-store pickup.
In-store pickup. Yep. In-field pickup. How about that? And I'll put one of those little IOUs on there. I let Tony take my deer. And you can take it. But it was a good weekend. And hope that I see some deer coming up this weekend as well. Kelly, what about you?
Okay. I was going to say, Tony, do you want to go before me?
No, I'll go last.
Okay. All right. So this pack, I haven't been on in a couple of weeks. This last weekend, no, it has been a couple of weeks. So this last week, I was at the Kincaid Hunt Camp, also known as the Kincaid Ranch, also known as the Kincaid Place. So I did take a week off and I went deer hunting. It ended up being a girls hunting camp week. So I went out there on the Sunday evening and because last Monday was the start of deer hunting with rifle. When you were talking about 0 degrees and it being good weather and almost too hot, we had 20 degree weather last week. It was too hot.
That's but too hot. Yeah.
On the Monday morning, so got up early, like we normally do. I did not bring a rifle, so I asked to borrow one from Kyle and Kelly because I just don't have anything that's appropriate that I want to sling around. I got something that is heavy.
Do you still have a Tavor?
Kelly was using her Tavor, but she's not. So I'll talk about a little bit what we ended up doing. So on Sunday night, I was just looking at what was available to me. So there was a Winchester Ranger, and it's a lever action. Yes, I used a lever action. It was 30-30, and it had a nice little red dot on it. It was perfect because when we were talking about how far we can typically shoot, the property there is heavily treated. It's Canadian Shield. So there's a lot of hardwood. There's also a lot of softwood too. And so when we're talking about how far we would typically take a shot, it's within 50, you're really going out because there's, again, trees, Canadian Shield. So
We went out, got up early morning. Me and Kel got up at 5 o'clock. We went out. I didn't go very far. I just went out to just right behind the house. We did not shoot off the duck, I just have to tell you. Although it was one of my tree, it was one of my spots where I did hang out for an afternoon. I did go just past the house a little bit where there was some feed, and there was also actually a perfect spot to shoot from because it was a wood pile. So I just set up on the wood pile, just watched them come in. It was Monday morning at 7:10 when I took my deer. So it was the first morning. There was a lot of shooting that was going on. I heard a lot of shooting. There were shots, shotgun shots that were for ducks or geese, because it's also goose season. But we had a lot of deer people out in the woods because it was warm-ish, but it was also the first day. So it was kind of crazy. Kelly set up in her deer stand, which is also known as our coffee clutch area. And she was using a crossbow. And yeah. So what happened was she had seen a doe that came in, and she says, "I don't have a shot. It's coming your way." And I saw a deer come over the rise a little bit, and I had a clear shot, and I took it and literally dropped on the spot. So I'm going, that's good. And then I heard another deer and saw it turn and run. I couldn't see it because it was obstructed by trees. It was the bigger deer. It was a bigger doe. Oops. Anyways.
Good enough.
I let Kelly know that it was coming her way, and she actually did take a shot at it. She did head it, but she wasn't able to drop it. So we just let it go for a little bit. And I went over because, again, mine dropped right on the spot. I had never shot that rifle before, and it was a little high. It'll hit a little high. And so I shot through the shoulder blade instead of actually through the heart. But it shoulder blade, lungs, etc. But it also actually, what it looks like, it looked like it actually I impacted the vertebrae as well. So I paralyzed it. So we went over and dispatched it with a 22 because put it out of its misery. And then we went to go and track the doe that Kelly thought she hit. And there was some blood, and we tracked for a couple of hours. Couldn't find it. Minimal blood. And again, it's 20 degrees and nice weather. And so there was it's easier to track, obviously, with the snow and things like that. But we did find some blood trails. We tracked it. However, we lost the blood trail. So we came back in. We did actually, so I field dressed the deer. And when we were initially, so when I was looking at it, I thought it was a doe because there's no antlers, and it was a smaller deer. Went over to it, and I said, "Yeah, that's not a doe." So it was a button buck. So it's tiny, I know, but
Fine.
It's fine. We're talking about backstraps and tenderloins. They were delish.
Yep.
Didn't take long to process that deer at all, I can tell you that.
with that little one I got, I didn't even use my knife on the inside. I used my bare hands. I just ripped.
Well, that's the other thing too. So I'm going, okay, so I've only actually field dressed ever. I've helped with one other one, one that Kelly got, but the last deer that I got was a doe. And so I field dressed that one. It was my first one. And this one I'm going, okay, this is actually a buck. What do I do with that? And so Kelly and I are going, YouTube University. So we're watching quickly. And I'm going, okay, let's get into it. And so we did. And then we scanned it as well, because have to. But then we left it to cool. and we're going to try and figure out what to do with it again, because it was actually going to, the next day, it was about 15 degrees, but the next day it was going up to 20 and then 20 again for the next day after that. We're going, we can't hang it. So we decided to quarter it and process it. Again, it was a very small deer. I don't want to tell you how small it was, but it was a small deer. We did quarter it and put it in a cooler.
Fits in the freezer. There you go.
A cooler. It was a small
cooler, though.
But it's a big cooler, but it fit in a cooler. But we were able to actually, so we did the whole entire thing. So when you were talking about being able to, I think it was actually a really good thing, again, because it was just Kelly and I, and it was about, as I said, it was 50 meters from the house. We put it, picked it up, put it in a sled, and we pulled it up because we wanted, there's an area where we actually do field dress our deer, and we, because it's a really good area, it's flat, and we can dispose of the innards right there. And then because of the size of it, I think it was actually really a great idea, because we're not overly experienced. As I said, YouTube University, this is the first buck that I'm doing. But it was a great experience. We got it done. Kyle, her husband, he couldn't, or he wasn't off work. And so he came home. He says, this is great. I come home and everything's done. So Anna McIntosh, who's the VP for the women's program this year. So she actually came out on Tuesday morning, and we decided to go out again, and we went out all week, but we didn't see many deer after that, because again, as I said, it was 20 degrees and not a lot were getting up and moving. Craziness on opening day. There was so many shots going off, but it was really quiet for the rest of the week as well. Now, that being said, all of us would choose different spots. And when we were choosing the different spots, we would actually wait for people to get there. And then we would walk out to, like, for example, Anna was over at the range that we have that we had cleared for maple seed. And then I'd go and I'd walk down to the back of the property, but I'd swing around. So if I did scare up anything, it would go towards Anna or go towards Kelly, so that we're pushing the deer towards them, or we were hoping to anyways. But Wednesday night, I got out to the back of the property and I got a really good spot. And I'm going, you know what, this is so perfect, because at the back of the property, there on one side of a ravine, there is a pond, a bigger pond, but there's a roadway along the side of it. And on the other side of the ravine, there's actually a swamp. And those are the trails that the deer come up. I said, we haven't been back there. I'm just going to go back there. I'm going to hang out, see what the hell's going on, see if there's anything. Cause you know, it's 4 o'clock and the sun's going to be setting soon. So I chose a spot. It was a great spot. I could see on both sides of the ravine, but I wasn't very stable. So I said, I'm just going to pull back and I'm going to go up a little higher. But it only allowed me to see one side of the ravine. So what was happening is I'm watching, I'm aware of what was going on, what the sun was setting. I said, we have about 15, 20 minutes left of daylight. So if the deer's come, better come soon. Squirrels were noisy and they were right beside me and they were being arseholes, as I'd like to say, but they were being very noisy. And I said, I was thinking to myself, you guys better shut up, because anyways, I was training my eyes and just watching left to right, left to right. And then I just felt like something was weird. And I turned around 180 degrees, about 25 meters behind me. There's this big ass doe. And I mean big. And she looked at me and I looked at her, and the gun was pointed. I had a tree in the way. So I had to reach around and get my rifle. By the time I turned around, she had taken off. Because I said in my head, oh shit, I didn't know she was going, oh shit, when she saw me. But she didn't snort, she didn't stomp, she didn't do anything, right? I just felt like something was watching me. You know that feeling you get? Anyways,
what you need is the deer view mirror.
Right? Totally, 100%, 180 degrees behind me, right? Because I'm training myself along this way, because I was thinking that they were going to come up from the pond and through where they're, it was called like a deer highway. They were normal. There was tracks there. There was fresh. So I turned around. I took the rifle and there was a limb right across the tree that was literally beside me. I just rested the rifle up against it and to see if I could actually take a shot. She was on the fly. She was running away. There was a little bit of a broad view, but it wasn't presented well, but it was presented well enough. I took a shot because I was saying it's an opportunity. It's a better opportunity than not. I did not hit her, but I'm going, because she was on the fly, but I'm going, shit. Because I was going, we're shooting for meat, and if I miss this deer, they're going to kill me. Typically I would let the deer go, but as I said, it was about, you know, a couple, you know, about 15, 20 minutes just to see. But the reality was we didn't have 15, 20 minutes left of light. So I went over to where actually she was, where I thought I took the shot and where she would have been. There was no blood. And I moved around and did a little bit of a recce to see if there was any blood trail at all. And there was none. So I said it was a clear miss. I feel horrible. Maple seed, I'll never live it down. But I was happy.
Was your sling properly?
I wasn't using maple seed sling. I wasn't even, no, but I right?
Gasp. Yes.
I know. It wasn't my rifle either. And it's a nice little rifle, though. I did confirm zero on it, though, later. And it's a pretty accurate gun. I like it, even though it's a lever action. And as I said, 30-30, no kick whatsoever to it. But yeah, I was glad that it was a clear miss so that we didn't have to go tracking through the darkness and through the swamp, because I would have had to, because I saw where her trail was, where she jumped off and where she landed but it was pretty interesting. She was very curious. But yeah, she didn't even, normally they'll snort and normally they'll stomp their feet. She didn't do any of that. She just looked at me. She was curious. And yeah, that was it. That was my hunting experience, even though we went out every morning, got up at 5 a.m. every morning, got out there at, 10 after 6 at the very latest, because sunrise was about 6:30-ish. And then we went out every evening as well. We also actually went out throughout the day to see if we could flush anything, and there was just nothing moving. It was way too warm. But yeah, we processed the deer, made some burger. We processed that small little deer in between four people, and everybody got a little bit of something to put in their freezer. So we all got some burger, and we also got some roasts, and not a lot, but it was a successful hunt. We're going to continue to actually go out because Kyle, Anna, and Kelly, they both have their doe tags. I had to use my doe tag because it was an antlerless deer, so because he doesn't have any antlers, I have to use the doe tag. So
you have to?
Yeah, I read the regulations. I have to use it for that. So, but yeah, ours is a piece of paper. You just print it off and you just hook it up on the deer while it's hanging. And it's 20 degrees. We're not hanging. And quite frankly, we're also not taking that deer, and we're not taking it down to be processed down the road in the fridge and have it hanged and have them do it for us. They're going to laugh at us because it was so small. So it was a successful hunt. I did take a deer. It wasn't very big. And the hunting camp, so we called it the Welcome to the Kincaid Hunting Camp, where the deer are small, but the stories are big. So
you got to call it the Kincaid Hunting Resort or something.
Yeah. So I did spend one sit and afternoon sitting on the deck. In a chair, in a nice cushioned chair, and just overlooking. There was that afternoon, there was, I think, counted 12 wild turkeys that came to the corn just started eating. I think they were laughing at us. Well, turkey season here in Ontario for the fall ended October 27th. We were wondering.
I don't even think Alberta has a fall turkey season.
Yeah. They were laughing at us. One of the really cool things that I saw on the Monday morning, though, is there were, while I was waiting, so it was before 7 o'clock, just right before, there was an owl that was sitting up there. So we had some where the feed was, where the corn was, there was blue jays, there were squirrels. The squirrels were so noisy. A lot of activity by little mammals and birds. So there's an owl sitting up there, and I saw him fly in and have breakfast. And then about 10 minutes later, the deer walked by and I shot it. So it was an eventful morning. It was great. And it was a really good experience. I highly recommend anybody who is looking at getting into hunting, go and do it with your friends. If you're looking for women to your partner or something to get into hunting, you know, contact some women in your area. We're happy to actually go and hunt with people. We'll show them how to clean a deer. We didn't need extra help, but there was people that are available that said that they would help us if we got a bigger deer, because Kyle wasn't there. And quite frankly, I think that, as I said, we were able to handle what we got. But if we were looking at a 8 or 10 point buck that had come onto the trail camera, came on Sunday night, was the last time we saw him. That's the last time he came to the feed. Mm-hmm. I think he knew, but the does came, obviously. But they stopped coming after a while. They'd come out at 2:30 in the morning, but that's about it, right? So, yeah, we'll keep going out. I have a crossbow, and Kelly's a crossbow, obviously, and we're going to use that. This next week is black powder season, so 1 week of that. But I'm not really interested in black powder.
How does the whole thing work? Because Alberta is archery first, crossbow mm-hmm. is not counted as archery, and then rifle. So for you guys, I'm guessing it's a little different in Ontario. Like,
no, our season actually starts with bow first, and then rifle.
But there's black powder thing.
Yeah, and then you get into crossbow. You can do archery, or as I say, you can do bow throughout the whole entire time as well.
But rifle season closes, and then black powder opens?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yep. So, yeah, we only have 2 weeks. And normally we book the second week because it's a little colder. So this week here has been a little bit colder, but it has been much colder. Although on the Friday I was cold, so I was waiting for the deer and there was nothing. So I was ordering new gloves and one of those seat cushions, and also the muffs with the hand warmers, electric. I ordered those and backup batteries, and those were what I was doing on Saturday or Friday when I was out there, because my hands were cold for the first time. The Saturday,
I brought battery powered stuff out, and I didn't use any of it.
I didn't use
too warm.
Yeah, I didn't use it. On Monday. We were super warm. Like it was 5 degrees, mm-hmm. First thing in the morning. I said, 5 degrees, I'm going to be cold, because I'm always cold. Anyways, got out there, I was super warm. I had my gloves. I used those to actually rest my rifle on. And then we came back in because for tracking, we had to remove a couple of the layers because we were all layered up, and we went through. It was, as I said, it's 20 degrees. I was out in just a shirt and, one of my blaze orange vests, because it was so warm. It was just warm. It was nice. Yeah, it was good. So that was my hunting. The other thing that I did this past week was yesterday evening we did She Shoots. So we did an episode, I think it was 34. We had the CCJA, so the Canadian Criminal Justice Association. Yes. We had the founder come on and talk about that. He's it's a organization that's in Calgary, Alberta right now, and it's a school that people can go to so that they, if they're interested in law enforcement, whether it's through, you know, policing or if it's through CBSA or corrections or whoever it's with, you can go and go to school there and you can get out and become a police officer or part of the criminal justice system.
Maybe just like a Freeman of the Land too. You can do that. Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. It's kind of cool to talk about. We had one of their students on as well, a young lady, and it was really cool to talk to her. I think that, yeah, I think it'd be a great opportunity for people to go to and get some real hands-on training and then come out with a really good career, come prepared. Biggest thing. So, and that's it, I guess. What about you, Tony? Tell us all about your experience with Adriel going hunting with him.
I'll save some for the main topic, but I did go to a hunting trip. I didn't plan it well. There was a scheduling conflict, but I was like, okay, I want to try this, so I'm going to get a tag. I had my hunter ed done long ago, like spring of this year, early this year, Q1, Q2 kind of thing. So it's like, okay, I'm going to head out there. Hopefully I'm not a bother to everyone else. I'm going to hold Adriel's rifle, sit there very quietly, observe, and, you know, try to stick my face into all the things that's happening, skinning, make sure it doesn't trigger me or trigger gag reflex or something. But fortunately, it didn't, so that's good. It's a very unique experience. I'll talk about it more later, but if you're living in the city, you don't often have that kind of peace and quiet and alert attention. Nice? It's a little odd too. I'll save the hunting blind story later, but it's just, you know, I'm in a box and I can't see everything as there's noises. It's like,
they're just coming to eat me.
I don't know. It's like, I have a gun, so I'm not afraid of it. But it's like, if something shows up, I'm going to shoot it. I was like, well, is there something behind me? I don't know.
Yeah, I was hoping I was hoping maybe, well, we'll get a story next week. Hopefully it'll be on. But Dave was also hunting and we were chatting while we were hunting. So he has a great story to tell. So along that line. So I'm hoping that we'll get his input on that. So just, you know, tell us about your experience, what you thought about it.
I guess we'll take over the main topic now. We can do that.
Oh. So, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I was only able to sneak in and bounce in about 24 hours, only stayed there for not too long. In my opinion, a mentor is everything. Adriel was there. A listener, Thomas, was there. He took me on a brush busting trip around. I'm surprised no one brought a brush gun of sorts, like 45-70, 450 Bushmaster, something like real big.
Well, real the thing heavy. Is, if you hit brush, it deflects the bullet anyways, even the big stuff.
Which is fair, but I'm just expecting, I don't know, maybe someone would bring some kind of a not long range gun out there.
Mm-hmm. I don't like being handicapped into having to use a short range only gun and have a long range shot presented to me. So my parents' place, I would take out like Mosin Nagants and SKSs and that kind of thing. And then I'd see a deer at 300. And it's like, I can't do anything with that. Whereas with my bolt action, that deer's dead every time. 300 meters, chip shot. Got it, right? So I stopped taking those short range rifles unless I take both. And then if I know what I'm going to be looking at, and I know I'm only going to have a short range shot, I'll take the short range rifle. But in this case, too much unknown, I take my gun that's good for both.
Yep.
3X.
So I know that my shot, the longest shot that I would typically be able to take in the area that I was hunting in would be, the longest would be 50. And that's,
We had a listener a week ago picking a red dot. We picked a red dot for him, and he's like 50 yards the range max. He's in Ontario, so it's kind of funny.
And that, and then in that situation, yeah, the red dot would be fine.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it's that's what I had on mine, right? I don't shoot a lever action, nor do I use a red dot typically, and that's what I used, and that's actually what I took the deer with. So, but at 50, yeah. So in Alberta, though, it's totally different. Alberta, you're looking at other options, you know, 100, 300, 300. It's, you know, that's not even something we talk about here in Ontario.
That's my average.
Yeah.
My average distance is 300. So sometimes I'll shoot them at 100, sometimes 400, 500. 300 is my average.
I don't know if I have the confidence to shoot a 300 yard deer. Maybe, I don't know, maybe.
Well, you need to do a lot of range visits with the rifle that you're going to use, and you need to be
which is fair.
You're going to hit that spot. Yeah. And 300 meters is a tough shot. You need to, and the other thing you need to do is know your distance, because if it's at 400, not 300, you don't get your hit, right?
Yep.
Yep. So I got set up on three different types of hunt. The first we did was in the, I guess, weekend opening morning. We were in a blind. We're in kind of a curvy cut line where I'm more forward. Runko is kind of behind me in a different blind. I didn't enjoy it that much. Maybe it's because the unknown is too much. It's my first hunt out there. And I had my electronic air pro on, which depends on the situation. I would recommend against. I also have the Hickok 45 style neck type things, which I used later on a day. I feel like I'm hearing too much stuff. Not quite. I guess some, maybe squirrels, animals, birds flying across, but I keep hearing like leaf noises, and I think things are approaching. Something? Now I have my window set to like 9 degrees off me, with like peeking, take out my binocular, peeking, don't see anything. It's like, okay, so back down. They're just kind of trying to be very, very quiet because, you know, everyone's like, quiet is everything you need to be doing. It's like, okay, be very quiet. I'm not big on snacking in the middle of doing something, so that wasn't a problem. So I have a bottle of water, I guess, to complete last week's topics on what the gear you should bring. I would suggest a Gatorade bottle is good, or some kind of a hard bottle, so it's not crinkle. Like,
I was going to ask, are you using it to pee in afterwards?
Yeah. Temperature was low enough that I don't need.
It's a good question.
Use the washroom now, but no, oh my god, I don't even remember what's the last time I did that. Years ago, never had a need to do that. And last time I mentioned I wanted to bring a backpack. In the end, I didn't. First, I didn't really need to bring a ton of stuff. Our hunting spot isn't that far from the camp. Second is you got to think about where you're gonna put that. Like if you're bringing a chair, you're sitting in the chair for. If you're just hunting like sunrise hours, so at least 2 hours, you're sitting there, and you probably don't want a big backpack like sticking behind you. Most of the camping chairs aren't as big as an office chair would be, for example. And then you're making additional noise. What are you really going to need in terms of stuff? For me, is I have my rangefinder on one pocket and then my monocular on the other, because I don't like binoculars after my eyes went all wonky. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe I want a bino harness, so I can put both of them in the same harness, and then you can put your tags and whatever in there. Yeah, maybe an orange one.
So, yeah, orange is good.
Yeah,
more
orange is good. It helps other hunters identify you if you're not on an open big field. Definitely helps, because you know I'm growing suspicious of all the movements in the wood too.
Blaze orange is even just a little bit, you can see it from a long distance, especially like, and as I said, in Ontario, or it's heavily treed, you can see that blaze orange stands out. So yeah, wear it.
Help. I'll say check your blaze orange before you're going to bring it out. I got a cap. I don't usually wear caps, and it's kind of bothering me. So I'm keep flipping it from to the front, to the back, to the front, to the back. It's a little weird. So I'm thinking if...
Do you wear a toque?
That's the thing. Generally speaking, I don't, because my head overheats. But I'm thinking if the temperature were to go any lower for us, it was a pretty good temperature around zero. So really not that cold in Alberta standard. A toque might be helpful if you're in negative 10, negative 20 degrees weather. You want to dress
if you don't have any hair.
Yeah, or 5 degrees in your Kelly.
You got to see how much hair I've lost on top. That's like kind of impressive for my age. Anywho, you want to dress warm, and especially if you're like hunting better still, like in a blind. It helps because you're sheltered from the snow. In the later on that day, snow did start to fall, and I choose to hunt at a tree stand in the afternoon, which I feel a lot better about. I didn't think about the whole I am heavy and like the tree is supporting my weight part too much. Afterwards, I did think about that, so that made a little bit. It's like
that tree stand's fine though.
It's a little shaky, but when you're sitting on a tree stand, your thighs and legs are exposed. Horizontal to the ground where the snow is going to fall. And if you don't have waterproof pants, it's going to start to melt, and then it's going to start to get real cold real fast. So do take that in mind. So if you're hunting in a very still situation, I would say dress like 15 degrees cooler than what you would normally. But like during noon when we're brush busting, you probably want to dress about 10 above what you're doing. It's like I got way hot. We're like stepping across everything.
You want layers.
Yourself some options. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was very into the inner and outer layer that zips together, so I can take it off as one thing.
Yeah.
In a wilderness situation, you don't want that, so you can change how you are configured and how the thermal situation would be. I did not get a deer, Adriel did, but let me see if I can share my screen. We did find this when we're busting through all the woods. Ta-da!
That's cool.
Yeah, so we found, what do you call that, an antler? No, it's not quite. Oh, it's not a shed.
It's a deer head. It's skull
antler. It's naturals, Ewe mount, I guess. That's how you would say it. Decent size, actually. We see his jaw there, too. I didn't see his rib cage, so I'm not too sure what happened to that. And it was at a spot that's far away enough that we don't think it was a hunter that did this. We think this is all how it
could be an animal. Nature. Yeah.
Very likely. So
did you take it and have you hung it on the wall? Do you have a deer story saying it is something that you shot at 500 yards with?
No, one of the other guys took it.
Yeah.
He was a listener.
Thomas did take it.
Thomas took it? Okay.
Yeah. This is the thing. So like before you go on a hunt, make sure family's okay with it, or you're never going to hear the end of it. So I specifically asked my parents, like, to what degree of a deer head is allowed? So your mouth is not okay. If we just leave the antlers, that's okay. So it's not like I'm going to have any good use for it anyway.
Yep.
So what did you think about the experience? Like, Adriel was just talking about the fact that you were field dressing it, correct?
No, I wasn't. Runko was trying to push me to do that. I was like, I'll save that for my first year. But I did.
You did a little bit.
I held on to the leg.
I couldn't convince him to do more.
I was holding the leg.
To keep your stomach in check?
I was good fine. For you. I was like kneeling down looking at the gut pile too. I know, to challenge myself a little bit. But yeah, I would say if you are new to it, try to get yourself. Well, you don't want to gross yourself out, so you're not coming out next year either. But I would say I'm the kind of guy to test my limit out a little bit. So I was like, stick my head into the whole thing and to like look at things.
So I wore gloves. Obviously, I recommend wearing gloves of some sort. But also, I wear gloves because I got nails. Anyways.
Adrian's
So I took off. So I took off my Fitbit. I took off my, my bracelets and everything. I literally threw them off to the side, but up to my elbows and blood and guts and that's what you do. And the reason is because you want to make sure that everything's out of there. But you can't be timid, and you just have to go for it. That's it.
Adrian just goes for it.
I might have skinned and gutted a couple of deers in my time.
Yeah. Russ is saying, get shot.
Gunshot.
We'll try to test that. Well,
that's where you learn your gag reflex. Russ, I don't have it at all. I can get right into a deer that's just nasty and it doesn't do anything to me anymore. Not a little bit.
Yeah. You don't really want a gut shot though, if you can help it, because you spoil a lot of meat.
Yeah. And it's gross. It is grosser to deal with.
Yeah,
it's messier. You need to use more water.
Yeah.
Whereas with one like that one we did there, Tony, I didn't need to use much water afterwards. It was so light. I just kind of picked it up and you just shake it out.
So I was thinking about it, right? Because I will acknowledge I'm a newer hunter, ish. Anyways, but I'm going, this is really easy. First day of hunting season, morning of, 10 minutes after light, bang, we're done. Okay. Drops right on the spot. Two deer dropped right on the spot. Okay. When? But I know it's not always like that, because one of the first deer that we went after, when Kelly shot it off the deck with the whole story with the towel on her head, right? When we pulled it out of the shower, we had to track that deer, and we tracked it for quite a while. So I know that, but Tony, it's all about putting in the time. I keep saying that, but quite frankly, as I said, the past two times I've gone out, first day of hunting season and the first hour of hunting season.
That's the difference between private land hunting and public. Like private land hunting, it can be very easy. You know where the deer are.
Yeah.
Public land hunting, a little bit dicier.
It is.
The area we were hunting, there was so many people driving around that the deer were like pushed way into the bush. You had to go way into the bush if you wanted to see deer and actually like get a shot off at them. They're really being pressured. Whereas private land, they can just see people and be like, huh.
Yeah.
Like the mule deers. Mule deer specifically on my parents' place are, I don't know if they're dumb or they're just, they're not bothered by people all that much. And I'll get within 100 yards of one of those mule deer this next weekend, probably.
Yeah.
And bring it home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bring it
home. Tony, it will happen for you, though.
I'll go down next year, but we'll see if we want to hunt earlier season or make it a tradition to hunt Remembrance Day long weekend. Maybe.
Oh, earlier for sure, because they won't be as pressured, and they'll be like we saw like 2-3 times more the other weekends we went compared to this one. So yeah, I think earlier would be good, and then more maybe if we can take some time off, maybe a Monday and a Friday or something like that. Make it a super long weekend somewhere in, because that place we're in opens kind of middle of September. So it might be good for, September, October, somewhere in there to head out there.
Weather's probably going to be better too.
It's a roll of the dice. I like zero, because if you end up shooting a deer on the Friday or the Saturday, you don't have to rush back to the city.
Yeah.
Zero? Ah, leave it, just leave it bagged. Who cares? And go pick it up when you're done and, you know, bring it home. And that's what I do with my deer. And I haven't even processed it. It's sitting on the floor in my workshop because it's 1 degree in Edmonton right now. That deer's not going to spoil at that temperature.
No.
If anything, it might freeze, and then it's going to be a real pig to try to skin. Because
it's going
to
be hard.
Oh, yeah, it'll be hard. But it's such a small deer, I don't really care. I'll just muscle through it.
Huh. Yeah. So beginning of September or middle September? Is that just bow for you?
Nope. It depends on the region. Some, I believe this one as well, are rifle.
Middle just September.
General in that area. Starting there.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
General is November. November 1st to 30th is our general rifle season around here. But depending on the area, some areas open early September. Some of them open sometime in October. It really depends on the wildlife management unit. And how many deers the wildlife officers want to see shot in the area, right? If they want more deer shot out of the area, they'll sell extra supplementals, or they'll open up the season early or later or something like that and just make it so that more people can get more deer.
We're a little bit more regimented. It's pretty strict. It's pretty standard.
It's interesting because when you learn more about the whole hunting thing and how it interacts with conservation, you can tell that's why it's called wildlife management unit, right? It's actively managed. So basically the wastage is kept to the minimum because some deer, unfortunately, during the harsh, cruel winter, will die. And if they're not harvested, I guess they're harvested by the local animal population.
And the pickup trucks, the local pickup truck population. They're the natural predators of the white-tailed deer. The grill.
Yep.
Yep. Anywho.
Yep.
Yep. Deer.
Yeah, this is overall good experience for you, Tony. You're going to do it again.
Yep, I'll do it again. I'm not grossed out. I did have, and I'll share this picture too, I did get to have a wild game, which is pretty exciting. I had bacon wrapped grouse, and Adriel did push me to skin one of them, and I was looking at all its guts and stuff. I wasn't grossed out, so that's all good. I did have deer meat too, thanks to Adriel. Now people are going to criticize me for this.
What?
The heart tasted great. The backstrap I tasted something. I'm not grossed out by it, but I had a taste that I wasn't expecting.
Maybe I need
to season the harder or something, but yeah, tasted like the grouse tasted very chicken, very normal, and deer had deer taste. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That deer was so odd, though, because the heart was so delicious.
Yeah.
Like normally, I'm not a heart guy. You know, normally, it's pretty tough. I was telling him, like, that's going to be tough. And I ate it. I'm like, what? It wasn't tough at all. Hardly been used this thing.
Yeah. When it's not been beaten all that long, it's much more tender and tasty.
Just filled anyways. With love for its mother. That's all it had in that heart.
Oh my gosh. I was
Tony got introduced to the dark jokes.
This is fun though. This is like, if you think about it, it's really just camping, drinking with friends, and armed hiking. It's great.
Correct.
But I do want to bring up one thing is, it doesn't occur to me until like midday. It's like, this is the longest time I've held a loaded gun for. It's like usually a minute. Are you ready? Stand by. Beep. 30 seconds later, done. Low show clear. It's like, I have this gun loaded for 3 hours now. Like every time I cross some kind of make a big step, it's like, okay, make sure the safety's still on. Keep going. It's like crossing a log, unload it. Like do it as how the instruction says. Like, makes me feel a little bit more comfortable, but make sure you have a clear communication with your hunting partner how the guns are pointing, and they'll help help against a potentially dangerous situation. I consider myself to be a firearm enthusiast, so I learned the gun pretty quick. It was a Savage Axis. It wasn't too different from any other bolt gun.
It's a really good.
Make sure you are familiar enough with that particular firearm, where the safety is, in case you need to make the shot. Can you disengage a safety quietly if that's needed? So if you're maybe the night before at camp, you might want to practice that if you are unfamiliar with that gun in particular.
Cool.
Make good sure tips. That it's loaded. Yeah.
Click.
Shit. We've all done that too. So yeah, really good tips, especially for anybody who's new to hunting. And congratulations, Tony, on going to your first hunt. Sorry that you weren't able. People were talking to me today and yesterday, and they were going, did you catch anything? Did you? And I'm going, did I shoot something? Yes, yes, I did. I didn't catch it.
I don't like the catch thing. That's for fish. That's not for like something you're going to shoot.
But thank you.
Trapping is allowed.
Sorry?
So certain trapping is allowed.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, yes, I did. I was successful in harvesting some meat for the freezer is what I said to them. It was great. And it was really good because that conversation was taking place with people who don't hunt and they're interested in trying some venison. So the point of this is that we were talking about hunting, somebody's first experience. We have two people on the show tonight that actually were successful in their hunt this year. And it's a good time to have a conversation and ask those questions. I'm really super excited about the fact that, Tony, you have somebody who is a great mentor. Like, Adriel's a fantastic mentor. Stop shaking your head. And Kelly and Kyle are...
I shot a baby deer, Kelly. I'm not a good
listen,
mentor.
So did
like,
I.
Telling Tony, like, we're not grocery shopping. If it's brown, it's down. You see a deer, you take it.
You know what?
Fair. Like,
that is 100% true. If it has spots, don't do the one with the spots. So,
however, if it has spots, it's not going to live the winter anyways. You'd be doing it a favor.
Do deer get birth so late? I don't believe so. But, you know...
It's a mistake, but sometimes they do.
Yeah. So as I said, if it's brown, put it down because we have people who've said, no, you know what? I'm going to wait for something bigger. I'm going to wait for a buck or whatever. And then they don't see anything. But the reality is, and this is my thought process too, if I have a deer at 7 o'clock on Monday morning, I'm going to shoot the deer and then we will actually then look at. So we had a conversation when we were talking about having clear communication. We did have a conversation because I have filled my deer tag, but I'm going to be out there and I'm going to actually, if I see a deer, do you want me to shoot that deer? And the conversation was absolutely yes. We're filling the freezer. So shoot the deer and we will work out whose tag it's going to be because we're here on the same property. Because I'm okay with stepping back and letting somebody else fill their tag, especially somebody who's never shot a deer before. It'd be their first one, like Anna, right? But no, the discussion does take place and we have those conversations. And as I said, Tony, it's really great that you had Adriel as somebody who is mentoring you to be able to show you what to do with dressing the deer. You took part. Okay, you watched it, but
I watched it in full. I didn't do much, but I did watch it.
Right, you didn't throw up. Good for you.
It's a nice customer step. Good for this one's all his.
And I had that same type of people or persons in Kelly and Kyle, and they think it's like the biggest win. They keep talking about it. We took this vegan and we made her eat shooting and eating deer. Look at that. Rock stars. But it's a really great experience from, you know, where your food comes from. You have the ability to taste the food and you have the ability to actually, you know, it's about management. So we understand that process now. So congratulations, Tony. I'm just going to leave it out there. My dogs are barking literally. Yeah. Any more that we want to talk about for that subject matter? Cause it was the topic of tonight.
I think we're good.
Tony will be building his hunting gun and I'll build something real dumb.
Why? So
we're going to crowdsource some ideas because it's going to be dumb and I like dumb guns. That's just how I roll. But I don't know. Maybe I wasn't a fan of the Savage Axes. You're getting that gun banged around a lot. It wasn't very maneuverable in the blind. The barrel is very long. It wasn't very convenient climbing up the tree stand. So remember Tony carving bombing the comment section. I think it's more like a howitzer, Tony. So I'll call myself Howitzer Tony now. We're going to build myself a howitzer. So let's crowdsource some idea. It has to be.
You think building a howitzer is going to be any more mobile up the tree stand?
Yes, potentially. Canadian legal howitzer. It has to be in a standard AR action. So not AR-10 based, smaller than that.
You want to prohib then?
No. We'll build it as a manual action. The minimum requirement has to be if it's some crazy wildcat, Starline has to make the brass for it. Barnes have to offer a copper bullet. It has to be a 16 or shorter inch barrel. You can send your suggestion in via email or comment below. And you have to make a compelling point for why Tony should pick that cartridge type. I'm already looking at a few dumb options. 458 SOCOM, 450 Bush, 350 Legend, which is more applicable in the States, but you can make it work. We're kind of on the bottom of my list right now. More practical, 6.5 Grendel, but then that means I need a bunch of random AK parts. Well, 7.62-39 parts in general. No 50 Beowulf, though, because the magazine laws are too dumb and I don't want to deal with it. So, yeah.
I'm not that anything else I heard wasn't dumb.
They're less dumb. They're not as dumb. I don't even know if they offer a 50.
Okay, Tony, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. I want to build a dumb gun to take a deer if it's always going to be 100. I'm not too comfortable taking a shot more than 200 because that's how my shooting career has been. IPSC shooting, BTSA is 200 yard max. That's kind of where I'm at. Maybe I can take a longer shot. Am I comfortable taking that shot as my first deer? Probably not. So I'm going to build myself a gigantic howitzer. So shot places.
That you have to climb up a tree stand with. Okay, go ahead.
Got to be short. And probably
shorty, 338 Lapua.
That's not going to fit in a standard AR action.
10-inch barrel.
Yeah. Put a brake on it.
Yes.
Yes. I wear Air Pros. I wear Air Pros, so it's okay.
Double up.
I know, I haven't found an ear destroying cartridge yet. Like,
this
even shooting 223R down in Michigan indoors, it was still an acceptable level mm-hmm. to me. Maybe it's because my ears are too far gone.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You mentioned you wore, one more question. You mentioned that you wore Ear Pro, electronic Ear Pro?
Correct.
Can I ask why? Just I am curious, super curious, because I'm always actually
because I don't want to blow my ears out.
Okay.
And I still want to hear things. It wasn't the greatest idea. I found
no, you know what?
Neck some bands people, is a little bit better.
Some people wear them and some people don't. Some people wear them and some people don't. I profess you only have two ears. Wear them if you want to protect them. I thought it was interesting. It's also, they're great for keeping your ears warm too.
Which mm-hmm. is fair, but yeah, it's just maybe coming from a sport shooting background. That's what I do, right? And I've shot, Jason has a recommendation of a 6.6 arc. 6 arc is pretty similar to 6.5 Grendel, to be honest. That could be considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I've unintentionally shot my 5.56 once was half of my Air Pros on. So I don't really want to do that. I don't want to make a habit of it. It's not great. Your ear rings for a bit. So
yeah,
freaking we're shooting bigger cartridges than 223 out here. So also, I need to get my ears checked out.
I think, rock on with those ear pro. So okay, just cool. You mentioned it and I want to come back to it, circle back to it, and it was your while you were doing it. So
old timers don't wear any ear pro, but
no, we're hard of hearing.
I know younger people and newer shooters all wear ear pro, and it's probably a good thing.
It's
the how... better thing would just be suppressors,
right?
Sound moderators, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can't have my short silencer. Barrel.
I want a silencer. I don't want a suppressor. I want a silencer, please.
Mm-hmm. Shall we get on to upcoming events?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So upcoming events. So guess what? It's getting into the winter season. So Maple Seed, we have two that are going to be happening this upcoming weekend that are going to be happening up in Huronia, which is Penetanguishene in Midland. Both are sold out. So guess what? Hmm. That's it. We're looking at...
Get on the wait list.
Well, yeah, there is a wait list. But we're looking at anybody who's interested in having an event. If we haven't already been at your club before, send us an email at info@mapleseedrifleman.com. And I'll get you in touch with the regional coordinator from that area. Just let us know where you're at.
Emailing a couple of those to me.
Yeah. Yes, I have. So what about you, Adriel? Are you doing any more of the HGG firearms training? Are you doing any more of that? I know, right?
You know it. This one this weekend, Saturday, is sold out. Sunday, there's still some spots at the restricted if you want to join that one. But that Saturday one's completely sold out.
How are you going to hunt and do this at the same time? What?
My buddy Colin's doing these too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. November 23rd and 24th at Sherwood Park. I still have spots available for those. The restricted one's almost full, which is kind of surprising, kind of funny. December 27th and 8th will be in Devon. I've got some spots available for those. And December 15th, restricted in Sherwood Park.
Nice. Okay. All right. If you have any events that are coming up and you'd like to us to talk about them on the show, let people know about them, email us at signfireradio@gmail.com. I keep thinking about Maple Seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. News. Concealed carry reciprocity announcement. What the heck's going on? Because obviously I miss this. So tell me all about it. What's going on?
So Trump's been on the warpath
bandwagon
of announcing all kinds of things.
Right? And did you hear Okay, go ahead.
The Doge Department.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. This one's more applicable to Canadians, though.
Okay.
He announced he's going to do full concealed carry reciprocity. Some states will give Canadians a concealed carry permit.
Correct.
Oh, does that mean that we get to concealed carry in all the states?
Okay, we have to really research this because we had so New Hampshire.
It's not in yet. It's not in yet. Right?
Yeah, I know, but let's have a look at it. Like,
$100.
Because New Hampshire had the concealed carry, right? And there was reciprocity in some states, but not all states. Mm-hmm. So. Is he saying that he's going to change it so that there's I can't even say it.
Concealed
you know what I mean?
Reciprocity.
In all states whatsoever. Give us the details.
Just says your rights don't end at the state line. And then.
You mean it's going to be actually like a national thing instead of each individual state and then each individual little area in that state that we have to know?
I think it might be about. Each individual area. And then if you get concealed carry rights in one of those states, however, which way it is, I don't know if constitutional will work this way. Maybe it will. But
I'm wondering. Interesting. That'll be like national level constitutional carry
at that point.
At that point,
that'd be cool.
It would be cool that we can't get it, but if you ever go down to the States, maybe Canadians will get to get a little taste of freedom, just a little nibble of freedom right there.
Just somehow buy a gun, put it at my friend's place. Like, hey, just mail that gun to me. I'll use it for a week. I'll mail it back to you. Put it
maybe
back
in the safe. Timeshares and guns.
Oh my god! Here's your rental list.
Mm-hmm.
So in flood at some of those states, as I said, like New Hampshire, there'll be a lot of people that will be applying for it.
I bet.
Yep. Okay. Drug den gun show.
Oh, yeah. They have guns I want. They have 1911s. They have freaking restricted.
That looks like the smart.
Scroll down. They have pictures.
What's that? Oh, there's pictures down below?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, Drug Super Lab. Who cares? Yeah, very good science kit got there. What do we got? Turk shit. FX9. Vector.
Yeah, lots of ARs.
What else we got here?
They have a...
GSG.
UTS-15 as well. Uh-huh. Selector broken off. Classic. Type 97. Classic. Lots of pistols, FNs,
11s,
I'm just going to, so just hold on a second. Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Any ARs in that?
Of course there is. There's also 50 cals.
Let me have a look.
Oh, yeah.
See.
Look at that.
F yeah.
50 cals.
Shh.
Meth, MDMA. Why do you need this many handguns? Oh, it's the cartel. Okay. That's, I guess that answers that question.
Right. Hmm. It is quite the haul there. So.
Ooh, yeah, look at those.
Just saying, you can't even see this kind of, this level of stuff at the Calgary Eastern Gun Show.
No, because that's prohibited. That's prohibited.
You mean MDMA and meth? No, you don't see it at the show. So no, it was operating. Yeah, so it was operating at the BC Interior. Obviously, it was a drug cartel. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good for them for actually taking those illegal guns off the street, showing that we're not the problem.
Mm-hmm. This particular lab can like synthesize some of the base material, so pretty serious deal.
Yeah. Can we talk about the election as well? Swing election? Somebody put this in here too. So what was going on?
That was me. So I believe it's the third by-election this year.
Right.
Yeah. So this was a swing district previously between the Liberals and the Conservatives. We know where this is going pretty much. They can't hold on to their stronghold, so...
So the place that you're talking about is the by-election that's taking place in Cloverdale and Langley in BC, basically.
That is correct.
So did you also notice that there was actually a recent, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that they indicated that because of the ballots that weren't counted, they're going to do a recount? Did you hear that about the BC provincial election as well? We're all about BC right now. Is what we're talking about. Yeah, so they made a determination that they're going to do a recount. So just to let everybody know.
It's like a round three recount at this point. Well, we'll see. Maybe next week, Dustin will give us a little bit more details on that.
Yeah, it'd be great if he can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd like to hear what he was up to because I saw some of the stuff that he was up to. But I'd like him to tell us, if he can tell us. That's very cryptic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brandon Herrera.
That's
the
funny one.
Yeah. What? So there's a list of people who've been suggested for different directors in the Trump presidency coming up. And right. Brandon Herrera, a.k.a. the YouTube AK guy, has got by far the most votes for the ATF director.
So did he say that or is people are people voting on those?
No, people are voting for it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, because... Trump appointed Elon Musk to do.
Yeah, right?
Like that's kind of crazy. Just saying. Like I don't think
he's swinging for the fences this time. He's going wild. So maybe this would be hilarious though.
You know what? He was the first president that's not a politician. So now you might as well make everyone not a politician. Maybe it's a better idea.
For Reagan was an actor too, but So here's what
a lot of actors.
Most people when they're advocating to become a director of a department, they don't advocate for destruction of that said department, but not Brandon. If I were to be considered for director of the ATF in my first 100 days, I have a plan to hack, slash, and cripple the agency in ways it could never recover from. And when I'm done, I'll ask President Trump to disband the agency entirely.
Woo. I don't know. Go back to the roots. Go collect your taxes on alcohol, tobacco. Just like remove the later things. It's fine.
Less alcohol, tobacco, more firearms.
Well, I am. Make it the AGLC. Make it the Alcohol Gambling Liquor Commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am going to make a recommendation of any of our listeners. If you're interested, you can go online and look at President-elect Trump's acceptance speech. It is worth the read, I just have to say. So if you have time, go and read it because it's quite the acceptance speech. I've never seen anything like it, truly. So. Yeah, we're a Canadian gun show, all about guns in Canada. You can tell. All right, so let's get
this. This stuff's funny. It's too funny not to cover.
It is actually. It's truly too funny.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of conversations last week about it while it was taking place. So, new gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and is a proud supporter of the CCFR. They have a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition, or $17 flat rate for shipping order of orders under $250. Some conditions apply. subscribe to their weekly newsletter and get the first access to the hottest deals. So what do we have for the hottest deals? I know that you guys were talking about it as I joined the show tonight. So this week, Bullseye deal, I think. Tony, did you add this or did you
add it? Correct. Okay. I added it. So they have the, I believe, two calibers available. Savage Impulse Predator. So the Savage Impulse rifle is a novel straight pull rifle. I was very into this before. It's just a little out of my price range. They have it in basically all the short actions. 243 is what's shown right here. I believe they also have a 308, which I would more prefer. The Predator does accept AICS magazines, so keep that 10 in mind.
Rounders.
Yep, 10 rounders or 12 rounders if you go to our Canadian friends at MDT, mdttac.com. They also have a $100 rebate right now on top of the sale that's going on, $100 US. That's how Savage rolls. So yeah, that is our Bullseye North pick for the week.
Good pick.
Cool.
Thank you for doing that. Okay. So let's get in the other stuff here as well.
Savage 93 Mark II Rascal for $30.
Sit down.
Savage Renegade for $100. Impulse for $100. 110 for $200.
That's with the proof research carbon barrel.
Oh, that's too expensive. 110 Elite. Impulse 110 precision for $200. Yeah, there's some good ones. RCBS Black Magic, the X die.
Yep. So this is a die that through some dynamic through the top where you screw down, it redistributes the brass where you don't have to trim a second time, which is interesting. Apparently, so far through RCBS testing, RCBS, I believe, is a part of Hodgdon now, so that's pretty cool. The powder manufacturer. And yeah, apparently it does not affect the life of the brass. To be honest, I wasn't a fan of the original RCBS dies with the screw and the rod on the top, but the new dies seems to improve on that. And yeah, this, you can add it as a single die to your current die sets, and they have a standard bullet seater. So maybe it will help you not trim as much.
Cool.
What they've tested is to 20 firings, which is plenty, in my opinion.
Ooh.
And the long-awaited Magpul FMG9, it became a collaboration project between Magpul and Zev Technology, so like very high-end Glock. And I believe basically the pistol itself is now Zev, but the furniture, the folding parts are Magpul. I'm thinking, is this going to have the SBR9, the iron gun, 9mm beat in terms of, you know, short PCC chassis thing. I don't know what's the legality of folding like that. Maybe it's too short for Canada. We'll see.
It's a lunchbox. It's your Power Rangers lunchbox that turns into Angry Power Rangers. It transforms.
And you can have your traditional handlebar iron sights, or I believe a Picatinny version will be available as well. Don't know when they're going to come out with it. I'm not sure if you can make the argument this thing was designed like freaking 10 years ago and Canada can have it. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it's not a pistol, so of course we can have it.
But it takes Glock mags.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
Just wait. Don't apply yet. Just wait. There's a couple things on sale at Cabela's. They have the Sig Sauer Romeo 5X Gen 2 Red Dot Sight on for $189, which is pretty cheap. That's cheaper than their usual sale price on it. Runkle had one of these, the Havilon Paranta edge folding knife. He rolled around with one of those things. They're sharp. These are the ones with like the replaceable blades on them. So the idea is you use it to hack and slash, and then once that blade gets dull, you just chuck it. And
it's basically a folding surgical knife. So if you like that kind of sharpness, personally, I'm more into Chinese big butcher knife kind of person. So, but it is sharp.
Yep. Sharp knives, you're less likely to cut yourself because you don't have to put as much pressure. You can just Push gently and it just slides right in there. Gets right in. And then, yeah, I think you put this one in, Tony.
Correct. This is a new cheap over-under double gun. It is by Pointer, who is under the umbrella of Legacy Sports International, who is the master distributor, I guess, or the marketer of the Hawa rifles. And
There's a Turkish shotgun, though.
It's a Turkish shotgun. Turkish shotgun, so I don't know how well it's going to be. But consider it does have some support behind the name, I guess it might be a little bit better than your random brands available in all the calibers and gauges, and have some interesting fancy scroll work on the side.
Yeah, they do. You know, for $6.99, they do have some fancy. That's probably just lasered.
I think last week it was $5.99 as an opener price, so just about the price of a Stover. So Turkey versus Brazil, I guess. Choice is yours.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Perfect.
BCL SRV Grizzly 308 starting to ship to dealers. No, this is June 22nd. This already happened, I think.
Are they out yet? I think people keep comments on it. But considering Adriel's review on a BCL 102, that was an established platform. It performed underwhelmingly.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy one as of yet.
But it's coming out, so I guess at least the reviews are coming out.
Yep.
Oh, some Valmets, hey?
Making their way from the U.S. to Canada, I believe, with Iron Guns. Seiko brand, so Jessica brand. 4.1 grand U.S.
4,100, yep. 4,100, 30-06, semi-auto in an AK action.
4.1 grand?
I don't know. I know people are attached to AKs.
I didn't think about that.
How AK do you have to be your AK to make it remain an AK? Like, how AK is this?
Tony, are you looking for anything that you can say is an AK, but...
I'm not attached to an AK, so I'm okay.
Okay.
But I know someone out there is going to want this. And I guess because there hasn't been a fresh shipment of Velmet into the country for a bit, so you might want this.
I think it'd be cooler if the stock set could be replaced, but it looks like from the angle,
that might be difficult.
It might be difficult to just like plug straight AK stuff onto. I don't know, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is like, how do you say, unsporterize and Enfield. It's the same project, unsporterize and AK.
It's an odd thing to look at because it looks like it has the lines of a classic rifle and it has that big fucking ugly AK safety on the side.
Yeah, you see the safety, you see the mag release, you see the trigger guard, clack. It's so square.
Yeah.
Like, ah.
Okay.
There.
It's ugly as sin. Let's move on.
Soli Outdoors has their Black Friday sale on. Oh, look at that. SKS is less than $500, $479.
We're getting the stuff for Black Friday. Getting notifications.
Yeah, they have the Rhineland FG9, so the FG42 and 9mm. Mm-hmm. It's your competition 9mm PCC.
An expensive shot.
They also have some sale on Lapua Brass. For you reloaders out there, precision shooting.
What did you just say?
Lapua. yeah, I believe that's the proper way to say it. 308 Winchester 6.5 PRC. Oh, they might have sold out for the 300 Win Mags.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
You sure it's not Lapua? Lapua sounds like a Chinese pronunciation of the word.
I don't know. I have people of Sam behind Lapua. Saying so, I'll go with.
Never heard it like that before.
You know what? But you be you, Tony. You be you.
Soli Outdoors has Magpul on sale right now.
Yeah, well. So that's Black Friday round two. I believe there will probably be a round three too.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything new from Tenda? Do they have anything new on sale?
I don't see anything. At least last time I checked, that Glock mag looks cheap though. $17. Holy.
Yeah.
This is new.
224 Valkyrie. I bet you that's on for cheap. 50%
I'm not building
off.
One. I'm not building one.
Remington Thunderbolt. Kelly, time to stock up.
No. No.
Shot Shell 45 Colt. So interesting stuff.
That's not super useful for us. Unless you have a 45 Colt rifle, I guess. Blazer 44 Lever Mag, 8mm Mauser. Okay, 8mm Mauser.
Ooh, if JR Carbine. How much is that?
Which one? JR Carbine?
Save that's $200 bucks.
Super white, too. Let's find out. JR Carbine.
Go down now.
You're going to do the thing. Okay.
Tenda search is not very good.
Yeah, these are not JR Carbine.
Search for JR Stormtrooper, maybe? I don't know.
Stormtrooper.
Oh, search for Just Right. That's probably what it is.
Stormtrooper. It's on for 1,000. 1,100.
Not bad. Not bad. Not the greatest, but not bad.
Look at that. Okay.
Underbarrel shotgun, Citadel Levtech, Blazer, 40 Smith & Wesson. What do you think this Thunderbolt's going for? Not that we're any of us are going to buy it. I'm just curious. Like, are they at 7 cents around? Are they well below? Not well below. $52.50.
Not quite.
See what that is.
If it's 2 cents around,
$4.90 divided by $52.50. It's 9.3 cents around.
Oh, that's
fuck a, that shit. That's way too much.
I don't know. Maybe after Federal took over the Remington plant, the rimfire may having improved. I don't know.
Don't care. Oh, the Valkyrie, Federal Valkyrie they got for $20 a box. Wow. $20.29. But if you get some of this, oh, that's a trim die there. $29 for some Nosler ballistic tip. Yeah, neat. Oh, look at that. $18.99 for some gold.
Metal. Better match. That's pretty good.
Woo. Yep. $18.99.
How many people have a 224 Valk though?
Well, I mean, if you ever bought one, you'd want to really cash in on all this ammo that's getting cleared out because it's gonna be gone after this. It's a dead caliber. There's people aren't.
Something that's called reloading dies.
Yeah, well, you'll have to get them because
yeah,
nothing else to get. Sorry, Kelly. Keep on going. FOC Black Friday sale has started. Yeah, I know, yep. But their shipping costs are always so high. If you can go there,
that'd be good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's their prices are great, but their shipping costs are so high. I know. I just can't get from them.
A lot of people are putting, as I said, a lot of people are putting on their Black Friday sales. I know that SFRC just sent something out as well about that. So go and check out your local stores.
They have the Hera. They have the Hera H6.
Who?
I haven't seen these things for sale yet.
Oh yeah. I think they're in.
The weird side magazine. Mag. Yeah.
Your manual action Stern has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the price on it again?
Sten gun? Black Friday. What do they got?
Show me what you got.
Rossi R95.
4570. Yes.
Levers. Who cares about any of that
stuff? Wow. $7.99 for a lever gun? That's pretty good.
$6.95 for small pistol primers.
Bullseye Frankie did that too.
Momentum. Well, that's kind of neat. 270, 22-inch barrel. Magtech. I can get better. I don't know. Troy straight pull, $1,000. Tika T3X. 10 mags for Glock.
Price for the JHP 45 long coil is not bad. Yeah. Not great, not bad.
I don't know. I never buy that stuff.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, Kelly. I'm done.
He lives in the West. He is so anti-cowboy guns. I'm not sure why.
Very anti-cowboy guns.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yep.
I haven't been keeping track. And we already covered the main topic of the show, which was talking about going hunting, specifically about Tony going hunting. His first time. Congratulations again, Tony. Awesome job. And you're going to do it again. So that's pretty fantastic. We don't have any new emails this week. So let's get into any of the YouTube comments as well as Facebook. Do we have any that people were talking about? I think there were some recommendations for caliber for you, Tony, but I think that we talked about it a little bit as we were going through, correct?
Correct. We do have YouTube comments, though. CCFR watched our last episode, says great episode. Thank you, CCFR. I'm not sure who's actually on that account, Rod or Tracy. Maybe both.
No. Team Let CCFR. Me just say somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else. Maybe Kelly.
No.
Brent said, as much as I like to be able to hunt was 223 Remington on big game, it's probably not a great idea. A couple of years, I hit a buck too far back with a 139 grain GMX bullet,
okay,
7mm rem mag. He went down, got up, and pushed. We pushed him for 4 hours until dark, and that was that. Never found
him. Wow.
I always order my green tags from the Alberta RELM app, which is like our app thing. In the spring, I get enough for deer, bear, walleye.
It's a hunting and fishing, right? So I'm thinking, right? Because you have to do both your hunting tags as well as your fishing.
And maybe
you have to find its vestigial feet and then put it through there. You have to put the tag through.
Yeah, you have to put. You have to actually hook it in through the feet of the fish. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. I've never killed an animal past 100 yards, but my binos come with me everywhere in the Badlands. Chest harness was my tags and rangefinder. Great episode.
That's a really good idea.
Thank you, Brent. But, you know, Trevor mentioned he shot a doe with a 300 Win Mag, and that thing still ran for a bit. So I think shot placement is something.
It's the only thing.
Yeah. Shot
placement is the only thing. You can shoot something far back with a big rifle, and it doesn't matter.
So I don't know. I like options. So, you know, give me a pure copper bullet, Barnes TSX 70 grain 223. I'll load that. I'll run that.
I'd run like a 65 grain soft point or something like that. I think that'd be fine. On a deer at like under 200. Deer's dead.
I like lead free though. And then Eddie, Tony, that Joe Biden shotgun quote is fire two blasts outside the house. I promise you, whoever is trying to come in is not gonna. With some laughing faces. I highly do not recommend taking his advice, of course, especially if you live in an urban environment. Yeah, or semi urban environment area. Hammerly is an old Swiss, now German company. They originally made barrels for the Swiss Army, then target rifles for ISSF, Olympic-style shooting. Going back to movie guns a few episodes ago, a Hammerly Model 280 was used by Brigitte Fonda in Point of No Return. Destin can fact-check that. Enjoy your hunting trip. I did. Thank you. Adriel, I found binos handy to ID game even when hunting in close. For example, during antlerless season, I check to make sure the deer aren't sporting nubs. Regarding the hunting checklist, is Kelly's bathing suit in camel pattern or blaze orange? Or does it not matter because the hot tub acts as a blind? All very good points. I think
you saw our checklist, right? Right, Kelly?
Yeah.
You should update that. I think in Alberta, anything less than 6 inches are considered as antlerless. There's like a measure. It's pretty long. So like if you have a spiky, it's still considered as antlerless, I believe. Do check the regs.
You're going to use your general tag on whatever you shoot. Who cares?
Can you use your supplemental first?
That's up to someone who knows what's on the Alberta Gate big game rigs.
Yeah. Bronco. We need to get him on back on the show. It's just law stuff has been in the
low. Yeah, it'd be great to actually have him on to talk about his hunting experience and going out with you guys.
He didn't get one though.
Meh. He put in the time.
Yep.
He put in time, way more mileage than I did. He is a more dedicated hunter than I am. Therefore better. Dustin, you should have saved up some mad money. Sell seasons cut is upon us and is the same time every year. Black Friday, Reliable Gun, Italian Sporting Goods, all the BC stores, and international shooting supplies are running sales right now or soon. I bring air protection for hunting as well. I have the Hickok Inspire behind the neck air probe earplug bands. That's what I used as well. They're orange, which is a bonus, and they're actually tight enough on my neck, so unless I force them, they wouldn't come off. If I have the time, I slip them on before the shot. I guess you have to take the opportunities, right? And that is all the YouTube comments for this week.
All right. Thank you so much. Nothing on Instagram and or Discord, although I haven't checked out Discord lately. So, you know.
There's always talking over there.
Yeah.
Actually, someone put a design for 3D printed, like if you want to change your barrel in your Raven, it's like a thing you can clamp into. So I printed some of those because I wanted to be able to do that. Yep. Okay. So that 3D printing corner on there is definitely got some good stuff on it.
Did want to mention also that we have on Discord, we now have a subfolder for hunting too. I know that because we were talking about it. Not that I went and visited, just saying.
Just saying, correct. And Brent actually posted his buck from last year.
Who did?
Brent did.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So Cabela's and Brown Owls, go to our website. You click on the link if you need anything from Cabela's or Brown Owls. It's hunting season. Of course, you need stuff from them. Go and click on that link and do your shopping because they'll give us a little bit of money as well. And then once a month, we will read what you bought. And then, we'll read what you bought.
I should buy some calls or something so I can like practice and blowing into them.
Okay. All right. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon as well as Player. Go on over there if you would like to actually also help out the show because we need your money so that we can be on. If you'd like to send us an email, go and send us an email at slamfrierradio@gmail.com. We'd like to hear about the events that you have coming up and we'll talk about them. Any feedback that you have about the show. And then also, if you have any feedback for Tony on what type of gun he should really buy.
Build.
All the stuff that he should buy to build his gun.
That's correct.
That is correct. All right. Any shout outs? Adriel, what about you?
Yeah, just the guys in the hunt cap, Tony, Ian, Will, and Thomas. Yeah.
Cool.
For a great weekend.
It looks like you had a bunch of really good guys there. So I'd like to give a shout out as well. I'd like to give a shout out to the Kincaids because fantastic time. Anna as well. Thank you for making the hunting camp and the hunting week such a great. It was a lot of fun. So it was women's hunting weekend. So it was a lot of fun. So thank you for coming out. What about you, Kyle? No, sorry. What about you, Adriel? I see Kyle's name here. I was just reading it. Sorry.
No, I did mine. Tony's next.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, right. Tony.
Same shout out as the as Adriel's hunting guys. Adriel, of course, leading me through. Thomas, your uncle. Nice chatting. Sorry if I'm being too annoying. I asked quite a few questions, random questions too. Well, and Alexander. And I have a recommendation for Rod mentioned this on the last season of, oh my god, Richard is saying I should build a 2-2. No, you can't build a 2-2. Actually, that's an additional stipulation. Has to be Alberta legal. Has to shoot bullets greater or equal to 243. Yeah.
Just build a 243.
That's a, okay. That's a long action. Rod mentioned the, I guess, the CCFR Quebec Division podcast. Do we have anyone who speaks French here? Oh, God. I'll just spell out AUPASDETIR. And they're on YouTube. I have no idea how to read their name. I probably don't understand what their podcast is about.
So they're doing a podcast in French for the CCFR. So it's,
pretty cool. I just don't understand it. Maybe I should enable subtitle or something so I can read it.
Okay.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. I guess that's it. Unless anybody got anything else, go over and check that on Discord. As I said, there's a new hunting subcategory there. You can talk about all your hunting success this year. Go and watch us on YouTube, Facebook, as well as Twitch and Player. join the CCFR, and go and listen to their new French podcast, apparently. And guess what, everybody? We'll see you all next week. Have a good night.
Later.
Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.